coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Sarah. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it.
Squatch it.
At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by the new CEO of the YMCA of Auburn, Lewiston, Brian Curtin. How you doing, Brian?
Doing great.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to talk to Brian all about the YMCA and all the exciting opportunities they have coming up here in just a bit. But before we get there, let's take a look at some headlines for Tuesday, July 29th.
The city of Lewiston is aiming to increase safety and limit inappropriate activity in Kennedy Park. The city will eliminate parking on Bates Street between Walnut and Spruce Streets to deter people from selling drugs from their cars and participating in public drug use, intoxication, and disorderly conduct. Opening parking spaces at the old Lewiston Police Department across the street from the park is under consideration.
The City of Auburn's third and final comprehensive plan open house is tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Auburn Senior Community Center. The city encourages input from residents, business owners, and stakeholders to ensure that the final 2026 comprehensive plan accurately reflects the community's vision, values, and priorities. For more information, visit auburnmaine.gov.
Auburn is also offering a youth engagement forum on August 8th from 10 a.m. to noon at Edward Little High School. The event will encourage young voices to come together to shape the future of the community through the comprehensive planning process.
And the Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention reports that Lyme disease cases have reached nearly 2,000, tracking 20% ahead of the same time frame last year. Cases of anaplasmosis, the second most common tick-borne disease, are at 890, 36% ahead of last year. The effectiveness of a proposed Lyme vaccine is being tested.
So, we want to talk about the weather?
You don't sound very confident about the weather.
I never know which song it's going to be.
Oh, we're going to play your song today.
Okay.
I think we should rotate. All right, let's talk about the weather.
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
It's back.
And also back today, blue skies and sunshine with a high of 89 and a low of 64. Sunny with a chance of evening showers tomorrow with a high of 85 and a low of 65. And cloudy on Thursday with a chance of early morning showers and highs in the 70s.
In sports, the Red Sox snatched defeat from the hands of victory and lost to the Twins. No, that's exactly what they did. They took a lead into the ninth inning and blew it.
Wow.
They lost to the Twins 5-4. They'll play again tonight at 7:30 in Minnesota. Lucas Giolito gets the start for Boston.
They've been on a streak, though, right?
They were heading into the All-Star break.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Do you follow the Sox, Brian? Yeah. Oof. It's been rough ever since the All-Star break. It's like, which team is this? Yeah. What is going on? And don't forget, folks, Sarah is singing the national anthem at tomorrow night's Sea Dogs game.
That's right. I should probably practice.
For Lewiston Auburn Community Night. You're going to kill it.
I'll be fine.
Come on. You're going to be great. If you do well, make sure you tell everyone that I'm your manager.
Okay.
All right.
And if I don't do well?
Then we don't know each other.
Okay.
All right. Good. I'll give you some cards to pass out just in case it works out.
Okay. My talent manager.
That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment. That is
Sweeping
the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
People birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for July the 29th, shall we?
Yeah.
We're going to start off with country music superstar Martina McBride, who is 59 years old today. She has 14 studio albums, two greatest hits compilation, a live album, and two additional compilation albums. She's done a lot.
I guess.
Yeah, she has sold over 14 million albums worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah.
The only song I know of hers is that song Independence Day.
That's a very good one.
It's a really good song.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's also a 14-time Grammy nominee.
Wow.
Singer and bassist Geddy Lee of Rush is 72 years old today. What?
Rush.
I'm going to guess that you never got into Rush back in the heyday.
I did in college, but not like some people do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that song, Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, that's a good one. Geddy Lee was ranked 13th by Hit Parader on their list of the 100 greatest heavy metal vocalists of all time.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Brian, would you consider Geddy Lee a heavy metal vocalist?
Yes.
Really?
Okay, yeah. It's weird what qualifies as heavy metal. He's out there with, Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden and James Hetfield of Metallica.
Just from uniqueness alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we can go with that. Documentary filmmaker Ken Burns is 72 years old today. Mm-hmm. Came out with the baseball documentary in 1994.
Mm-hmm. So was Civil War documentaries.
Yes.
Kind of his thing.
That was his first, I believe, in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And then jazz in 2001. Mm-hmm. He's done some incredible work.
Mm-hmm.
And rounding out FPBs for July the 29th is actor Roz Kelly, who is 83 years old today. You might remember Roz from Happy Days.
Mm-hmm.
She played Fonzie's girlfriend, Pinky Tuscadero.
Pinky.
One of the greatest names in television history, right?
Yes.
Pinky Tuscadero.
I will never forget that name. That's just one of those things that's in your brain.
Oh, yeah.
It
sticks
never go
with
away.
You. Arthur Fonzarelli and Pinky Tuscadero.
Yes. Yep.
You're invited to their wedding. Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
Woo.
I want to challenge Geddy Lee for heavy metal vocals right there.
There you go.
You should. Let's see. On 19 years ago in 2006, on this day, Pamela Anderson married Kid Rock.
Ooh.
Yeah, they got divorced 4 months later.
Aww.
That's like 5 years in celebrity time.
You know what the thing is about marrying Kid Rock?
No.
It has very little sentimental value.
Sedimental. Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to leave.
Yeah. All 29 right. years ago in 1996, 35-year-old Carl Lewis shocked the world by taking the gold medal in the long jump at the Atlanta Olympics. It was his 9th gold, and it made him one of the only 2 athletes ever to win the same event at 4 straight Olympic Games.
He was a freak of nature.
So
Carl Lewis.
Crazy good.
Can't sing very well. Speaking of national anthems,
please
Brian,
don't play it. It's so bad.
Brian's laughing, so I assume you're familiar.
Have you seen it?
Poor guy.
Oh, man.
Poor guy.
I'm going to get it.
What about the audience?
Oh, man. So bad. Last time I did a public event where I did the national anthem, Mark made sure to show me that.
Yes. I'm
like, as the floor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the bottom.
There are some.
Your way up.
There are some bad ones out there.
Yeah. Let's see. How about 44 years ago on this day in 1981, Prince Charles and Lady Diana were married before 2,500 guests at the St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Mm. Their fairy tale wedding was watched by 700 million viewers around the world. Big old televised wedding.
That's right.
59 years ago in 1966, Mr. Bob Dylan was injured in a motorcycle accident near his home in Woodstock, New York. He broke several vertebrae and suffered amnesia and mild paralysis, and his voice and music were never the same. What were they like before?
I'm guessing different.
Actually, like immediately following this accident, like the next album that was released was called New Morning. And it's one of Bob Dylan's best vocal albums that I've ever heard because he's just spent that entire time working on his voice, which I thought was pretty incredible. So if you ever are like, Bob Dylan can't sing, find New Morning and listen to it because he actually can. That and Blood on the Tracks were probably the two that were like nailed at home. I don't know that he spent much more time on his vocal set this morning.
I remember him with the Traveling Wilburys.
Oh.
Remember that super group?
Yeah.
And he, that was in the
'80s. And the guy from ELO.
Jeff Lynne and George Harrison and Roy Orbison. What a group that was.
Yeah.
And Bob Dylan had a song on their album called Tweeter and the Monkey Man, and I thought it was fantastic. It's great.
Nice. All right. 67 years ago in 1958, NASA was created 9 months after Russia launched their first Sputnik satellite. It's been a race, right?
Yes.
Race to space.
And 11 years later, we were on the moon.
On the moon, allegedly. And 135 years ago, tragically in 1890, Vincent van Gogh died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound in Auvers, France. And we lost a genius.
Yes, absolutely. Those are your FPBs and OTDs for July the 29th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985, open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn, online at patsauburn.com.
Now, we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, CEO of the YMCA of Auburn-Lewiston, Brian Curtin. Brian, before we get into the YMCA, let's talk a little bit about your history, because you've held a couple of positions that serve you well in this role.
For sure. I think so. I spent quite a time in higher education and college athletics. I coached for a number of years at the college level and chased it a little too long and thought I'd get into administration. There was an opportunity for me to interview up at the college here in Standish, Maine, St. Joseph's College of Maine, as a director of athletics. And as soon as I drove into the state, all I wanted to do was work here and live here. I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time. So I spent 14 years at St. Joe's. And I say that I kind of always have had this sixth sense about when the new chapter should be at least looked at. And there was a time, that was the time where I just was trying to see if there was going to be a new chapter in my career. The United States Center for Safe Sport was created in 2017 in the wake of the terrible Larry Nassar case. And it's an organization that educates and audits the national governing bodies under the Olympic movement, with the bent to keep the young athletes safe from abuse. And we were the audit team, and we went out and audited each of the 50 national governing bodies, USA Swimming, US Bobsled, US Sailing, and the like. And I learned quite a bit there about what I did not know when I was in college athletics about keeping young people safe around adults. And I think you're right. I think the confluence of some of the work that I did in college athletics in sport, and I like to say that when you're on a college campus, it is kind of a microcosm of a community. And I just look at this new position at the Y, that just the borders of my community are more vast. And so, like, I wanted to create relationships with athletics and admissions, with athletics and the alumni office, with athletics and development. Similarly, I believe my role here is to build relationships from the Y and what we do and these other community members here in Auburn and Lewiston. So I think that's very true. I like to think that there's quite a bit of synergy between the work that I've done and what I'm trying to do here.
What was it about Maine that made you want to work here and live here?
I'll say that one of the places I grew up in, I was born in Massachusetts, grew up in Vermont, spent quite a bit of time in the Saratoga area of New York when my father got a job up there. And then I took a basketball coaching job in Westchester County. And the one thing that was clearly recognizable is the outdoors, the activity of outdoors here in Maine. And it struck me as soon as I drove on and I drove into Portland with the Back Cove and the ocean so close and the mountains right around the corner. And when you grew up in some of the areas, I was in suburbia, and Westchester County is just an extension of the boroughs. I just wanted to be at a place where there was a premium on outdoors. And then, of course, you meet the people. Mm-hmm. And I've had great experiences of having great car mechanics, where I've had terrible experiences with car mechanics in bigger cities. It's just the friendliness and the willingness to help, and the pride that people have in their communities and this great state. I've been here now 20 years, so I'm from away.
You'll always be from away. Yes. Right?
Sorry. Sarah's from the state, and she's from away.
I've come to terms with it.
It's okay. We'll be all right.
I still love it. So thanks for asking, because it's a real calling card of mine. I've met great people that I consider to be some of the best friends I've had.
Yeah. Mm. What were your first impressions of the YMCA of Auburn Lewiston when you first arrived?
The people, really. I met the board. I met the staff when I came to interview in person. And the history of it, the history of what it's meant to this community, the brand that the YMCA brings to communities, those are the things that struck me. And I would be remiss if I didn't also say that it presented itself with some challenges that I'm not afraid of, and I think the staff is eager to attack. We can have a discussion about the swimming pool and the swim team and some of the things that have put the Y where it is right now, for good or for bad. But I just think that when you go in there and you see the activity that happens in a building like that, and then what is happening at what we consider to be some of our satellite locations, what was the appeal for this position to me is I've always hoped that my responsibility is, and that my role is, to get a group of people together to help make the things around them better. And for the Y, it's community and young people.
The YMCA has a history of being kind of one or the other most of the time, either a membership YMCA or a childcare YMCA. Mm. You guys sort of walk the line of both over here. Mm.
Walking the line's the right way to say it. In both places, you can imagine that there's competition. We had a staff meeting where, you know, you go to a place that's so mission-driven like the YMCA, and so was the Center for Safe Sport, and so was St. Joseph's College. I went to St. Michael's College in Vermont, and I have an attractiveness for places that are mission-driven and are community-driven, if community is not yet a through line in the conversation. But I think that what one of the more candid conversations we had to have as a staff is that, you know, even though we don't report to stakeholders, we don't sell widgets, early childhood education and membership and fitness, that has to have a backbone of revenue. It's something that people don't necessarily want to talk about, but it's just the world we live in. There's a lot of competition out there. I don't believe they have to be mutually exclusive. You can have a very mission-driven, center-focused community center focused organization and still be fiscally prudent.
So let's talk about the swim team. Before we started recording, we were talking about the pool that the Y used to have, and now it's filled with concrete. Mm. So what is going on with that?
And my son had his first swim lessons in that pool. Aww. He's 21 now.
I've heard so many people say it. Staff members say the same thing. Yeah, people that I've met with who are partners here in the area. When I think of the Y, I think of basketball and swimming.
Yeah.
Really. So when I came here, I wanted to make sure that legacy didn't die. Last year's season, as I've typed to a parent recently in an email, was not the way we wanted the season to end. There was a coach that was hired and was doing a good job. I don't think the coach was on the same page with what his expectations were and what former CEO Steve Wallace's expectations were of him. There were good numbers, to the credit of the head coach, who did a lot of great work to build the roster for that swim team, Twin Cities swim team. And there were successes, too, regional swimmers, national swimmers. And what I've said recently is that because it's had a legacy that has been in existence here at the Y since 1969, I don't want that 1 year to define Twin Cities swim team. And one of the early wins I wanted us to have as an organization was, how can we make sure we can have the faith of the swim community that this is back? So Chris Shea is our COO, and Chris has been at the Y for decades. He's done really great work, and he put his head down and worked with the various pools that are available to us and the players who want pool time, whether it was the high school group or the pool at the YW, or a new swim club that's here in town, who could get some pool time for their respective teams. So it was a priority of ours, and we're fortunate that we had and continue to build a great partnership with Bates. We're going to have some practice time, consistent practice time at Bates College. We've already communicated with the swim with the swim conference, and they're building us into their swim meet schedule. We hope that we can host a meet or two. That's still in the works to see how the calendar falls. We've tried to be as communicative as possible with the parents, some of whom admittedly and understandably weren't pleased with last year. Some of them have chosen to go to another club. We've heard from a good number of them that they're coming back to TCST, and we just want to be forward-looking now. We feel like we're at the ready now, and it's just, it's happening. I come from a family, a large family, and they all have different. My sister was a great swimmer. My nephew went to the Olympic trials. Swimming is important to me. I love the sport. I think it's one of those sports where it's individualistic but also team. So without getting into the weeds of it, I really want to champion the import of what we believe in TCST.
So those people who don't know, yes, the pool is closed here
yes.
at the Turner Street location
That's
of
right.
the YMCA, but you do have satellite
Thank
locations.
You. Right, that's yeah. right, yeah. We talked about it just before we went on, and one of those locations does have a pool. It's out in 1977 South Lisbon Street. It's called Health Club and Spa. It does have our Y logo right there on the front when you're passing by, and we do have a small pool there. It's used as really more of rehab work out there. It's only 4 feet deep, but it's two lanes. It's very popular. There's high participation out in that location, particularly in and around the pool out there. So that was a draw, I understand, for the previous CEO to purchase that location.
There was a recent article in the Sun Journal where you were interviewed, Brian, and you said...
Sorry for the pictures, yeah.
You said you wanted to focus on partnerships with community organizations, and one specifically that you mentioned was the Dempsey Center. Can you elaborate on that?
Indeed, yeah. Partnerships is something that is, I think, imperative in an organization like this, and I spoke of it when I met with the board, that I spent some time... owning a place down in Kittery. And when I was looking for this position, a lot of partnerships around nonprofit organizations were just showing themselves to me. And I think they're showing themselves to the state of Maine about successful nonprofits, that partnerships have to be baked in. And I tell the story of a standalone thrift shop that was in Kittery that was doing very well for the town of Kittery and the surrounding towns, and a standalone food pantry that was doing very well for itself for the town of Kittery and the surrounding towns. The two executive directors were brilliant. They got together and created what is now a solo brick and mortar called Main Spring. It's right on what is kind of the main drag of Kittery. And they're providing opportunities and programming that they could never provide by themselves, whether it's meals on Tuesday evenings, or a new brick and mortar that's affordable housing, a larger food pantry, a larger thrift shop. I only say that because that was right in front of me, intimately in my town, showing that nonprofits need partnerships in order to do bigger things, connect with and assist more people in their communities. So when I got this position, I knew that was going to have to happen. We will pursue that for as long as I'm here, partnerships. And a very good friend of mine I worked with at St. Joseph's College happened to be newly hired at Dempsey. And when I landed at Dempsey, she just sent me an email and said, you have to come over and meet our interim CEO. We already, the Y already had a partnership with the Dempsey Center because there's space out at one of our satellite locations, the Outdoor Learning Education Center out on Stetson Road here in Auburn, where there's a plot of land there. There's 90 acres owned by the Y, but there's a plot of land that is sequestered for the Dempsey Center to grow their food and have a garden there for the food that they provide for their clients. So that was already happening. So it was kind of an easy way for me to slide in, meet with my friend and the new interim CEO, and talk about what might be some future partnerships. So we hope that one is going to be announced very soon, and we hope that it's just one of many. It's a great organization.
You want to build out the Y to be more than just a gym. You want it to be a community resource. What does that look like?
Yeah, thanks for teasing that out. I think that a community resource is more than just sport. And, you know, we're just starting to get into what could be some more creative programming. We have some talented people over at the Y on our staff who are creatively minded, and we're trying to think outside the box of what, and some of the read actually is, what does the market need? What does this community need? And I'm just still learning that, I admit. And I could have all the ideas in the world, and two things could happen with those ideas. They're new, somebody already came up with it, or it's already in the works, like three things. And I think that two of those things are already happening. The one that I have all the ideas and they're brand new, I don't think they're really going to happen. I think that maybe my charge is, can I make sure that the staff's ideas are listened to, and can we pull together and execute them? So what could new programming mean to the community, and what do they need? Some of the great work we're doing at one of our other satellite locations out in Hillview is that, you know, we have a massive food assistance program out for that Hillview community where they can come in and the children can get free food during the summer and then get free food after school during the school year. Could that be expanded a little bit? We think that it can. And also, out on Hillview, there's other opportunities for young children outside of just activity. Can we have more of a robust opportunity to help them with social emotional learning? Can we help them a little bit more about their homework after school? What does leadership look like to the young people in this community? And can the why lean into perhaps providing them an opportunity to learn a little bit about that as young people? You've provided me an opportunity to spitball here, but it's really going to be about the staff's creative approach to how we can better support this community and our ability as a staff to execute.
You are just over a month.
Just over a month.
Into your...
Yeah.
It feels like you're very comfortable in this space. Like,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'm impressed with how easily you seem to have dove in, pun intended, dove into this role.
One pool, yeah. I appreciate you saying that. It's important to me to do this job right. I want to be respectful of the tradition of this place and the years that people have put so much time in to make sure they do right by this community. And I want to be knowledgeable about what's going on at the Y of Auburn Lewiston, because I want to tell our story right. I can't be somebody that's fostering a partnership if I can't tell our story. And our story includes what our challenges are. I'm happy to tell what our successes are, and there are plenty. But our story has to include the things that we have to do better, and can our partners help us do those things better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've worked at and lived in a variety of locations around this country. What is unique about the Lewiston Auburn community that you've seen?
What I hear from some of our partners, I asked some of our partners who have been here and owned businesses for decades, and I asked them, I said, do you think Lewiston is in a situation right now where it's doing well and it's on the up? Do you feel like it's stagnant? Do you feel like, and almost all of them said that they're very encouraged and optimistic about Auburn-Lewiston right now. One of the things that I found unique is the build, in particularly Auburn-Lewiston. There's a Post-it note on my desk about all the units that are being built here. We have another set. I mentioned the Outdoor Learning Education Center out on Stetson Road. Adjacent to our 90 acres is going to be a 160-unit housing project. So we'd like to partner with that housing project, parenthetically. And then there's builds right around within three blocks of where we're sitting right now. I found that to be unique. I think the diversity is exciting, and we have to tap into the diverse communities and what they might need around here. I think that people underestimate the outdoor space that the cities have worked so hard to make for the communities. So can we take advantage of that as well? You know, just like the state of Maine, these last 5 weeks, Jason is our development officer on staff. He's done a great job of populating my calendar. And Marcy Hurd works in our development office. They've done a wonderful job of populating my schedule with meeting people who have been generous, or people I just need to know who are in the community. And just like what I said earlier about being in the state, everyone's so friendly and so willing to end the conversation by saying, if I can ever be of assistance. And that doesn't happen in a lot of places.
Right. Mm. Brian, what most excites you about this position?
Oh, geez, just the possibility, yeah. Plural, the possibilities. I like change. I think maybe my career has shown that. I like change because it is a time where you as a person can pivot and maybe even flex some skills that weren't being flexed in some previous spots in your life. But even organizations, I think that if they look at it that way, where they can maybe even flex some things that they once did well or are not being utilized as well as it as they possibly can. I think there's an analogy there. I get excited to come to work because of everything we've just talked about. If there's that much support in this community, if there's that much potential in this community, if there's that much opportunity for creative solutions in our building and in our satellite locations, how do you not get excited about working with people that want to row in that direction?
Have you learned anything about yourself in the short 5 weeks that you've been at the helm at the Y?
I've always been good at asking questions, and I've had to exercise the muscle that might have been a little dormant about making sure that when I ask a question, this may be too talk about granular, but that when I ask a question, I think it's imperative that you let the room breathe. And so when I'm talking to partners and I ask them what they're doing well and what they think the why means to this community, I think it's important to stop and let the room breathe so that I can be a good listener. That's probably the best I can come up with right now. Yeah, that's an interesting question.
How are you set for staffing and volunteers?
Good. I can't answer the volunteer question because I'm still drilling down on that for our events and when we're in need of volunteers. For our staffing right now, we're pretty good. We do have some openings. I appreciate you asking.
Sure.
We do have some openings in early childhood education, and that's probably a broken record. It's probably that industry. But we have some good leaders there who I think that, you know, the more I talk to them and get to know them, the more we can coach. It's an industry where there are a lot of young people working, and they need people that are going to support them and help them professionally develop. And we want to do that for them so that we are doing right by the kiddos that come over to 62 Turner. And we have some openings for young people in early childhood education, so the parents should know that. And we have some postings on our website. We're also looking for a part-time head coach for the Twin Cities swim team, and that's been posted for a couple of weeks now, too. And we'd love to continue to get the word out, even in a grassroots way, to see if we can get the best person for that spot.
Is there anything that we've missed?
Yeah, you'd let me close by saying what you're doing is incredible. I think that things like this that happen in a community where people can listen in on what is going on, where they have so many opportunities to see what is going on. This is another forum where they get to learn about, and I get to unpack some things that they might not have known about. Mm-hmm. We're really proud about two congressionally directed spending programs that are afforded to us through the office that were advocated by Susan Collins. And one is out at the Outdoor Learning Education Center that I keep talking about. But right now, that is really a place where we're housing summer camp. And it's been a very successful 2025 summer camp out there. But there's a house that we bought out there that has a garage. We've built inside that house offices and conference rooms, and out back there, speaking of that, there's a pool out there at that learning center where we've been able to teach life skills to young people at summer camp about swim safety and swim lessons. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the pool that's out there at the Outdoor Learning Center. But when it's inclement weather or thunder and lightning, they all pack into that house safely to do some programming and some activities until the weather changes. The vision of that location was, how do we take advantage of all those trails? How do we take advantage of the beautiful brook that runs through there? How do we take advantage of the basketball court or the wide open sports space that is out there that we use for our field hockey programming? Registration for that opens up in a couple of weeks. But the vision was that there was going to be a 7,000-foot pavilion out in that location. And right now we're in the early stages, but not the infancy stages, of getting that moving. And hopefully we can break ground later in the year so that pavilion is up and built before next year's camp season. And in there's going to be space so that there's programming indoors. Could there be business conferences out there? Could be there business retreats out there? We hope it's multi-purpose, but it certainly is going to serve our camps much better than our current situation. There's just so many things that can happen out the Outdoor Learning Center. Talk about maybe some future partnerships. We just think of so many outdoor activities that can happen out there. Cross-country skiing, there's already snowshoeing out there. We've had outdoor yoga out there. There can be more happening out at Olick, out at Stetson Road. Mm. The second congressionally directed spending project is in Rumford. It's repurposing a building in Rumford so that there's early childhood education run by the YMCA out of that building. And that's really in a very, very early stage right there. Both grants come from HUD. They're big projects, but like everything else we've talked about, we think they're doing right by community. And we're proud to build out on those. I took the tour of Rumford last week, and there's some interesting things that are happening out in the town of Rumford, and we like to be a part of it. So those are happening too. So thanks for asking. But those are two examples where people don't know about that. And in this forum, you're generous for allowing me this time, and so many other people that I'm sure are so appreciative to talk about the things granularly that people might not even know about. So Mark and Sarah, thank you for doing that.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamedialLC.com.
Brian, as you know, because you've listened to a few episodes of The Lunch Bunch, we like to close out the show with a segment called Three Random Questions.
I was about to take my headphones off. I forgot about this.
Where we like to ask you a few questions just to get to know you a little bit better as a person and member of our community. So what we will ask will have nothing to do with anything we've talked about. All good?
All good.
All right. Brian, putting your professional skills aside, what could you teach someone to do today with 100% certainty?
I could teach them to get through a rudimentary song on the drum kit.
All right.
All right. When did you start playing drums?
I hack at drums for 20 years. Wow. Yeah, my kit's not set up. It's in the basement. So I haven't done it for a little while now, but I think I could get somebody to hack through a pretty simple song.
Even someone like me who has no rhythm. That might be a tall order.
It's a challenge.
I'd still say probably.
All right. Thanks. Did you ever play in a band?
Not the drums. No. A basement type of thing with a friend of mine. Yeah, who was an acoustic guitar player. Yeah. So sure. It was fun. That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. What style of music?
Not Rush.
So not heavy metal.
But it was the Clash and the Ramones.
Now you're speaking Mark's language.
You are speaking to my heart.
Oh, yeah. Good. All right.
Man. Yeah, good stuff.
My question for you, Brian. What was your favorite cartoon as a kid?
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I think that even now as I hearken back on it, there was some adult theme. There are some things that I was missing as a kid, but you watch back, it was so clever that it hit notes that just the kids were enjoying, probably just it optically, but the humor was probably even a little bit more progressive.
Agreed. Bugs Bunny was the king.
Bugs Bunny was pretty great.
No doubt.
I was a big fan of Captain Caveman.
Oh, he was
great
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I don't know why.
Speed Racer was a good one too.
Yeah.
So many good ones back in our day. Yeah. Brian, are you more of a sports fan or a music fan? That's not the question, by the way. That's going to lead us into the question.
That's funny because I've kind of whittled my sports following down a little bit more than when I was in college athletics or when I was younger. So I would say it might be 55% music right now.
Okay. So if you could attend any concert from history and have the best seats in the house, what would it be?
It would be The Last Waltz, which was, you know, when Van Morrison came back out after he had kind of his career was waning at that time, and he came out and blew the roof off. And I'm not a huge band fan, but Bob Dylan closed the night, and I thought that would have been probably a pretty historic place to be. That was
right.
That was. I love that documentary.
Great answers.
It was a good poll.
Yeah. Absolutely. Was that before or after Bob's motorcycle accident?
After.
Yeah, I didn't know about that accident.
You didn't know about that?
That was a good fact.
Yeah, he had training with like a gospel music coach, a vocal coach after the accident, just to kind of recover also from the accident. And apparently that was something that like clicked in his brain.
Yeah, wow.
Worked hard on his vocals.
Good one.
Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. This was really fun.
We appreciate you. And, you know, apologies for the commute you have after
it's so far.
But you'll get there eventually.
20 I know. Steps. Watch out for the traffic on your way.
He is Brian Curtin, CEO of the YMCA of Auburn Lewiston. And again, folks, that website, alymca.org. Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption for sponsoring today's episode. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com. Sarah, are you going to go practice your anthem?
I should probably at least once today.
Okay.
Run through it.
At least once.
At least once.
Brian can back you up on drums.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Have a great day, and remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I have bitten my cat.